We listen to the word of God found in the Gospel of Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you, heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable in that day for Sodom than for that town.'" The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. A lot of times we talk about the 12 disciples of Jesus, and we know how many of them were called to be disciples. You know, the Peter, James, John, Andrew were fishing, and Matthew at his tax booth collecting. And we even know all the names of them because the 12 are listed in the scriptures. And we know which ones were Jesus' inner circle, closest friends, Peter, John, and James. And we even know some of the discussions they had, some of the quarrels they had, some of the jealousies they had. And there's some historical evidence and also legends about what happened to the 12 after the book of Acts. For example, Thomas went to India and started the church in India. But we don't usually stop and think about all the other people that were disciples of Jesus. We only usually talk about the 12, but there were much more than just the 12. If you look in Acts chapter 1, after Judas had hung himself and they're looking to replace Judas, they said, "Let's choose someone from the group that has been with us from the very beginning, that who has heard everything and seen everything that we've done." There was a lot of people that followed Jesus. This passage in Acts or in Luke, it might give us a glimpse of some of who these other disciples, probably these 72, were some of those ones who followed Jesus all the time. And Jesus sends them out into the other villages. And he said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Well, in the chapter 9, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples to do the similar thing. And they come back rejoicing. And then right after that, shortly after that, there's the feeding of the 5,000. And some speculate that maybe those 5,000 were people that the 12 had encountered in the towns and villages where they had proclaimed the kingdom of God. So with all those people coming back, Jesus makes the comment, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." So he sends out 72 instead of 12 this time. Their responsibility is to speak peace upon the households and to proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. And they demonstrated the kingdom of God coming near through signs and wonders through the Holy Spirit. They were the very representatives of Jesus in those places where they went. And, you know, they were just ordinary, everyday followers. They weren't part of the special 12. They were just ordinary, everyday followers of Jesus, given a special purpose and calling to represent and carry the message of Jesus. People like you and me, given a calling and a mission to reach the world for Jesus. You know, sometimes it's difficult to accept the call that we've received to proclaim the message that God places a call upon our lives. And it's difficult sometimes. We kind of are resistant to it, and it's easier just to attend church, maybe go to Sunday school, read your Bible, say a prayer, as long as you don't have to do anything else. You know what the number one fear among people is? Public speaking. How many of you are willing to be up here next Sunday? Only Jim Tutwiler will add. So we got two out of all, because, you know, it's not something that's we jump in and, you know, just chomping at the bit because, oh, I want to speak in front of everybody. You know, it's something we all tend to be hesitant about. We're not alone in struggling with answering the call to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ and to proclaim that the kingdom of God's come here. It's, you know, it's easy when we're with like-minded people, but it's not always easy when you're told to go out and share it with other people. You know, it's something we struggle with. And it's not uncommon in the Bible to find people that are not really anxious to go out either. Remember the story of Moses. Moses experiences the burning bush and God speaking to him from the, you know, wouldn't that be exciting to be able to experience that and see that? And God tells Moses that, I've heard all the cries of my people in Egypt. I'm going to send you back. And Moses starts with all the excuses. You know, who am I that you would pick me? There's better people than I am around here to pick. God, I don't really know you well enough. Well, they won't believe me if I do go. I don't really talk very well in front of people. But Moses, God convinced him, and he went anyway. And have you ever thought what might have happened had Moses not gone? Now, God would have maintained his covenant with the covenant people, but we wouldn't have had the story of Moses with the Ten Commandments and the Ten Plagues and the parting of the Red. We wouldn't have necessarily had that whole story because it was only through Moses that that all took place. There's also the story of Gideon in the book of Judges. You know, God calls him to deliver the Hebrew people from the Midianites. And it's interesting, the angel speaks to him and says, "Oh, mighty warrior." And when he says that, Gideon's threshing his corn, hiding someplace so nobody will see him because he's afraid of the Midianites. And the angel calls him a mighty warrior. He tells Gideon he wants him to go, and Gideon says, I need to be sure. I don't know this is right. So God, if this really is you, I'm going to put out a fleece. And when I get up in the morning, let the ground be completely wet and soaking, but let my fleece be dry. And so he gets up in the morning, the ground is completely soaking and wet with dew, and the fleece is completely dry. And Gideon looks at it and he says, let's try 2 out of 3. So in the morning when I get up, you know, he said, let my fleece be totally soaking wet and let the ground be completely dry. And so again, he gets up in the morning and the fleece is soaking wet and then the ground is dry. And so Gideon obeys and he goes. He was hesitant, but he goes. And he calls an army, a huge army together, and still outnumbered by the Midianites. But God narrows that down to an army of 300. And they were armed, heavily armed, with a trumpet and a lantern. And God delivered them through him with the blowing of the trumpet, the lighting of the lantern, and the Midianites turned on themselves. Can you think what might have happened had Gideon not listened? You know, there's even just simple things like Isaiah. If you read in chapter 6 of Isaiah, where Isaiah has this vision of God and God's awesome and his train fills the temple. And Isaiah's first response is, woe is me, for I am a person of unclean lips. I don't have what I should have to declare what I've seen. And an angel consecrates him and sanctifies him to be able to declare the message that's in the book of Isaiah. If you ever read through Isaiah, you'll be amazed at how many references to the Messiah is in his book. Probably one of the ones that's most obviously scared, maybe not scared as much as anger, doesn't hatred. Story of Jonah and the whale. God calls Jonah, tells Jonah, he said, I want you to go to Nineveh and declare the kingdom of God there and tell them to repent. And Jonah didn't like Nineveh and he didn't want to go. And you know the story. He runs the opposite way where he's called and he ends up on board the ship. And the ship gets into a horrible storm. Jonah's the one sleeping. Everybody else is feared for their life. And they said, why can you sleep? And he said, well, it's about me. You know, so if you throw me in the ocean, you'll be okay. You know, think about that. Willing to be drowned rather than heed the call. And he's thrown in the ocean, you know, he's swallowed by the fish. And I told other people, I've heard arguments that Jonah could have gotten out sooner than 3 days, but he kept arguing that he came in the front entrance. But you know, Jonah, as he does, he goes to Nineveh and he proclaims the kingdom of God to them, and they repent. And the lives, the place is spared. Now, Jonah maybe had more hatred than he had fear, because he didn't like Nineveh, because he was upset that they repented. But he proclaimed God's word and lives were changed. So we find the 72 in the book of Luke, in this chapter 10, going out and being sent, just ordinary people called and sent to go proclaim the message of God, the kingdom of God is near. And it says, if you read on, they came back rejoicing, excited, because of the great things they saw happening in the lives of the people they talked to. They're saying, demons were fleeing from us. People were being healed. And, you know, they were so excited that they wanted to talk about it. Have you ever done something that you thought was so fun and exciting, you wanted to talk about it? How many of you like roller coasters? How many of you have ridden a roller coaster, got off, and got right back in line again? How many of you talked about the first ride while you're standing in line? Oh, you know, that was so much fun, and the excitement, the energy, because it was something that these disciples, that was what they were about. They were back saying, you can't believe I've never seen something like this. This is exciting. We told them about the kingdom of God, and demons fled, and people were healed. You know, the great things that you can achieve by touching one life. And there's lives out there that need to be touched. You know, I shared with you before about the butterfly effect of how you can touch one life who touches another life and touches another life. You were singing, I was watching you guys when the choir was singing. Most of you were singing along with those hymns. One person, Fanny Crosby, her relationship with Jesus Christ, writes those poems and those songs down, and then you today are still finding some of those as your favorites. You know, we're about to take communion. And that's a time, something for us to remember the impact of one life, the greatest life, Jesus Christ. We celebrate the very presence of Jesus in communion. And we celebrate because he wants us to remember what he's done for everybody. And we want more than just us to be able to come to this table. We want the whole world to come to the table and participate in remembering the life of Jesus Christ. This life was for the redemption of the whole world. And we want to bring as many to the kingdom as we can. We want to go forth because the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. Just like the 72, we've been sent. We've been given the Great Commission in Matthew 28 to go make disciples in all the world, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all that Jesus commanded. We've been promised that the Holy Spirit will be upon us to empower us. And we have a calling, just like Moses did and Gideon did and Isaiah did and Jonah did. We have a calling to go and proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. But we have to be obedient. And obedience is the key component. So will you think about who you can go share and proclaim the love of Christ to? And, you know, as I shared before, there's these boxes around. You can pick one or two up if you want about how to share every home for Christ. There's a guide in there that will give you some stuff to study and some video lessons that you can listen to if you want to, with QR codes and some ways in which you might be able to reach your neighbors, your coworkers, or whatever, and begin to proclaim throughout the whole world so that, as was shared by Tara, about the fruit being reached throughout the entire place by each one of you. May you seek how you might be obedient to the call that's on you. As you go forth in the power and the love of Jesus Christ, may you share that love with those you encounter in Jesus' name. Amen.